Welcome back to Beyond the Barbell, brought to you by Reebok, the official outfitter of CrossFit and the CrossFit Games. I'm Blair Morrison.
And I'm Ben Alderman, and today we're sitting around catching up on some things and just want to talk a little bit about just kind of the state of CrossFit and where it is going to this new year.
Yeah, happy new year, Ben.
Yeah, it is. I get the sentiment that more people are just kind of over 2016 than they are excited about 2017.
2016 was a pretty draining year, especially at the end.
I don't understand exactly why this sentiment is shared by so many people. Is it simply just the election year and the whole kind of hoopla with that and having to focus on some of the bigger picture issues out there? I mean, what is it?
Yeah, I think the election had a lot to do with it. There's going to be a come down after that. Nobody's really prepared to handle, especially the way that this election went. It was so dramatic and so polarizing. So I'm sure people are kind of
unexpected, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I think people are kind of, just like in air quotes, like over it in general, right? And they want to just kind of get past 2016 and whatever that means. But I mean, I think you're seeing that already. People are kind of coming around and leveling off to like a new state of normal for whatever their kind of day-to-day is going to be, and a little bit less emotional highs and lows, hopefully.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, what do you think that means really for fitness and maybe CrossFit specifically? Is there anything that's new in this new year for us? Is there any kind of, impact?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I kind of expect it to be a dull start or a slower start. Like you said, it doesn't feel like people are amped up for 2017. Like, I'm going to attack this year. And that could be regional too. I mean, we're obviously on the West Coast, and it could be a totally different feeling in, the Northeast. Everybody's like fired up about the Patriots,
right,
hopefully going to the Super Bowl this year. Maybe they're all chomping at the bit to attack 2017. But my sense is that it'll be a slower start to the year, and I don't know how you've seen this in your business, but it seems like things have been trending down, not down, trending back, where maybe 4 or 5 years ago, the beginning of the year would bring a whole bunch of people that were to making New Year's resolutions and they were going to start CrossFit, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is the year I'm going to start CrossFit. I've heard about it, whatever. The last couple of years, it hasn't really felt like that. There's definitely a few people that call up out of the blue, like, hey, I'm ready to sign up, but not as many as in years past. And so I think that maybe that's an indication, at least in our market, that CrossFit and the appetite for CrossFit is kind of normalizing, right? You're not going to see all these new adopters anymore. And I mean, that's kind of a bummer, because it's nice to have a big boom in the beginning of the year, but it also might mean that you're going to get less attrition,
Sure. Yeah, that would be, I mean, that's two trends. One that cancels out the other one, right? So not as many new people, but less people.
Well,
maybe
it cancels out if you're running a good business.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
If you're doing a good job to the members that you have, then they're not going to quit. But if you're the type of business that depends on a rush of new people to kind of like fill the coffers, and then because you're losing 10% a month, if you don't have that, you could be in trouble.
Right. Yeah. No, exactly. I see that. I think that, in terms of mindset and what we're experiencing, maybe that slow start to 2017, it's kind of hard, because when you're surrounded by a lot of people who kind of feel the same way, you kind of get brought into that same mentality, right? That group mentality can either be positive or can be, super negative. And so I'm trying to be really proactive and kind of attacking the new year. But at the same time, like I said, it's really easy to see the contrast between you and the other people around you when you're doing that, right? Because you're kind of completely against the grain from what they're doing, Like, the way we have to start the new year is we do have to take care of our members. We do have to appeal to anybody who's looking for us as a gym. You and I have to travel to Miami and, go to Wadapalooza, which we get to do, which is exciting. So there's a lot of things that are still happening. There's still a lot of buzz. We still have got to prep for the Open, which is, 6 weeks away? Something like that?
Yeah. I think the Open is, that's something that you can kind of like, as a gym owner, you can like throw that into people's subconscious, be like, hey, Open's right around the corner. And that might get a little bit of momentum, right? Some gears turning as far as getting them motivated to show up to the gym. I mean, also, the new year, there's, I mean, a million challenges out there, right? And that's not an accident. It's because this is an opportunity to kind of capitalize on people thinking of this as a fresh start. Even if they're not chomping at the bit, you can still reason with them, be like, hey, this is a new year. Like, this is the year that you could, you know, really make a change, or, you know, really like get your diet on point. So, I mean, we're running a nutrition challenge. We're doing a, we're doing our New Year 66, the consecutive workout challenge. And we're hoping that, you know, even if people are a little sluggish now, that once these things kind of get a week or two into them, now they're like, okay, I've done this for a couple of weeks. Now I'm really starting to feel energized, and we can push through all the way till, you know, March or April before, you know, life starts to pull you back.
Yeah, exactly. And come in. Interesting. I wonder if all gyms are kind of experiencing this, like you said, if it's just regional, or if it's, you know, we're seeing this maybe even globally, right? Is everybody kind of with 2016, is it, does this election kind of have that same ripple effect throughout, you know, the other superpowers, so to speak, or maybe?
Yeah. I mean, I think with respect to CrossFit, it's been, I mean, it's been my opinion, we talked about this a lot, that, you know, there is going to be, I don't know if there's going to be a bubble necessarily, but there's going to be a saturation point in every local area. And like Sacramento, we've been at it for a couple of years where the number of gyms was just growing so rapidly to the point where it's probably too many gyms for the population of people that want to do CrossFit, you know? So you end up getting a lot of gyms that have around 100 members, and that's it. And then you see gyms starting up and they like barely able to get like 50 members. That's hard, you know? Now, I don't think that's the case in Asia or most of Europe or South America. They're not at that stage, or maybe even parts of the US, right? Like, I know I have a cousin who opened a gym in Minnesota, and there's, you know, it's the only one in town, or it's like one of two in town. So there's still areas like for CrossFit to grow, but eventually you're going to get to that point in the arc of the business and the market where we are, where it's like, okay, you got like, you know, 50 gyms in a metropolitan area of 2 million people. Of that 2 million people, you know, what?
1%?
Yeah, not even, right?
Yeah,
like maybe
right.
10,000 people want to do CrossFit or are kind of like are doing it regularly. You know, it's like you divide it up. It's just not a lot of, there's not a lot of bodies to go around. So as a business owner, you know, that makes the sledding a little bit tougher. So you take, you combine that with, you know, election hangover and like maybe, you know, some more sluggish starts and to the year and whatever. I mean, you know, you got to be pretty creative and you got to be on top of your facilities and your programming to really stand out above the rest. Because the chances are any new members you're going to get, or the majority of the new members you're going to get, are coming from other CrossFit gyms, right?
Sure. Yep. Yeah, that's what you're doing, is you're taking other people from that are already interested in CrossFit, right? And they're just moving around to the better gym, or to the gym that's got kind of maybe it all put together, you know?
Yeah, or the gym that's maybe a little more convenient for their schedule.
Sure.
I mean, what we hate to see is if it becomes down to a thing just on price, where gyms start undercutting each other, getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper to try to attract members. Mm-hmm. Because then you're just, I mean, you may win the members, but your overall net could be the same. So you're actually not gaining anything.
Right. Yeah, I got 150 members at $100 a piece, or I got 100 members at, or at, I vice versa, right?
Right.
And then all of a sudden, that's where there's a balance, but you could bring it down below that, and then all of a sudden you're
that's
in trouble.
I mean, that's a great little number thing right there. I mean, you just take 150 members at $100 a piece, or 100 members at $150 a piece, right? Your costs for running the facility don't change, but now you have 50 extra people that you have to service for the same amount of revenue, right?
Exactly.
So that's like, I mean, that's the danger, right? Is you end up, if you're trying to get more people in, but you have to discount yourself so much, you're not actually bringing any value, but you're bringing way more wear and tear, bigger class sizes. You know, that's like a, it's a tough balance there if you get to that point. And that's, and we, and you know, no business wants to get to that point where you're having to compete solely on price. You want to compete on quality and amenities and coaching and all these other things.
It's just like a restaurant. You know, you don't want to go to the cheapest food restaurant, you know, and compete on price. You know, they're all of a sudden eating like poor quality stuff. You know, sure, it might be convenient, but, you know, I think a fitness program should be something a little bit more than just what's the most convenient and the cheapest, right? So it's just like our food. You know, how do you treat your body? You know, how do you, what do you put into it, you know, on a food-wise? And then also, what are you going to do with it fitness-wise?
If you had to, like, take the food industry, like, and then compare it to the fitness industry, like, what type of restaurant would you think CrossFit is within that industry? Because, like, in the food industry, you have, like, at the bottom peg, there's, like, fast food, right? And then there's, like, a... Gosh, I knew a girl once told me all the different levels they have in the food industry. They have like these strata that you fit into.
Right.
So like you have the fast food at the bottom, and then you have something that's not, it's not called fast food, but it's like Chipotle. You know, it's like a step up from fast food.
Yeah.
And then above that you have like the
Denny's or something like that would fit in the next. I
know, something like that.
Denny's like seems like less quality than Chipotle, but it's a sit down, right? It has a server, so.
It's like this. Denny's might even be. I don't even know where Denny's fits. Denny's an interesting.
They're their own strata.
Yeah, but then above like that Chipotle level, there's the, kind of like the Applebee's,
right?
You know where it's, you're coming into a restaurant, but it's not fine dining,
right?
Right, or like an Outback or places like that, and then you have the top strata, which is like, you know, fine dining, like expensive fancy restaurants, and then you might even put like one above that, which is super super,
right,
like $100 steaks and stuff like that. But
well, we're definitely not that one.
I don't think CrossFit's $100 steak, but I think some people think of it like that, right?
Yeah, I think so too.
I think they look at the results, like the athletes, and be like, that's the $100 steak,
right?
But in reality, no, like a country club is like the $100 steak, right?
Yeah,
like a Lifetime Fitness or a place where you're, you know.
Yeah, because if you think about the results only, you could say that we get the same results as that. But a super fine dining $100 steak has like the amazing amenities.
Right.
Right. You're not just paying for the steak itself.
You're drinking out of crystal glasses.
Exactly. And... right. And so with us at CrossFit, we're like, hey, we're functional. We're going to get you where you need to go. There's no frills. Right. Unnecessary frills. Mm-hmm. Right. In order to not cause any kind of distraction. You can keep the focus on the workout, on the programming, and on the coaching.
Right. It's not like spa treatments. And
right. So in that, if that's the case, right, then you'd have to look at it in some ways. You'd almost go, like, ooh, does that mean we're the Chipotle? Right. Because they're going to care about the quality of the food.
Are we Chipotle or Applebee's?
Right.
Is what you're coming down. Because at the bottom of it, you're thinking that's like your $10 or $15 a month, like Fitness 19, you know. Right. I would say that's like that. And then the next level up, the Chipotle level, is probably like the Cal Fit, mm-hmm. right? So now you're paying for basketball courts and, you know, maybe they have a pool, things like that, but you're still not getting a lot of personal attention. But the food, you know, the food is better.
The food is
quotes,
better.
Right? Right.
Yeah, if you're basing it strictly on the plate and the food, then we're definitely closer to the upper end
right.
than the lower end. If you're basing it on amenities, right, we're definitely on the lower end, you know?
Yeah, I think we fit in that Applebee's Outback slot.
There's a perfect balance of everything.
I don't. Depends who you're asking. Right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, I love Outback.
But, yeah. Well, who doesn't?
But
who
doesn't love a good steak? It's like it's not the most expensive thing out there, right? And you're not getting the sauna and the spa treatment and, you know, like flowing robes, you know, like you would get at some of these super nice country clubs. But like you're getting quality food, right? Like the food. I mean, it may not be the top, but it's pretty close. Mm-hmm. It's like good quality steaks, you know, USDA.
Yeah exactly.
It well, ain't McDonald's hamburger meat, that's for
it's
sure.
Definitely not grade D, beef, or whatever.
Right. Yeah. And if you think about it on a cost scale, you know, what you pay per workout in CrossFit, you know, it's pretty inexpensive.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when it works out to it and people come all the time. I feel like at really nice country clubs, people pay a huge amount per month and they don't actually go that often, right? So their price per workout or per service goes way, way up. And they're willing to pay for that because of the amenities.
Yeah, agreed. I think that what's nice is you have to look at, too, if your coach is your server.
Right.
Right? What's the knowledge level of your coach and your server, right? So if you're at Outback, does he know what he's talking about? Does he only know his menu? Does he understand how his food fits into, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Into the bigger picture. So
maybe we're a little better than Outback.
Yeah, maybe we're a little better than Outback. Maybe you and I are a little better. But maybe there are some gyms out there that are a little worse, right? Maybe they don't understand.
That's true.
Fitness at all.
That's true.
Although I was on the news, 2 days ago? Yesterday? Yesterday morning?
Yeah, yesterday morning.
Yesterday morning, and I actually, somebody sent me a snapshot of what they said, and it said Ben Alderman, and right below it said fitness expert. That's what the news labeled me, fitness expert. So,
frame that.
Yeah. Well, it was a screenshot from a live shot, so it's kind of like,
a little grainy.
A little grainy. I could make a good 3x5 inch postcard, maybe.
Or maybe you just put it on the desktop of your computer.
Yeah. So you can just look at it and be like, look at me. I'm a fitness expert according to these non-fitness experts.
Well, as a fitness expert, what do you see some of like the trends, or what are some of the trends you're seeing, and what do you look for like in 2017 kind of within this space? You know, let's like stick to what we know best. Let's stick to like the CrossFit realm.
Right. Well, I think that what you're seeing is there's a much higher knowledge base for fitness in general. I feel like CrossFit has changed the game. I feel like there's a lot of people who have kind of increased in their knowledge and their awareness of basic functional movements. People understanding the value of functional training at high intensity.
You mean just like general population, like members?
General population. Okay. And I would say general population because I don't just mean your CrossFit gym people. I mean even people at your normal Fitness 19, right, will be suckered into doing kettlebell swings versus bicep curls. Right? That's going to happen more and more. I think because of that, it gives room for really cool programs where you are able to, like Miranda doing her street parking with Julian.
Right.
Right? There's a really cool program, right? You pay like, what, $30 a month and you get programming from her. You don't get any coaching. You don't get the same level of community, right? But you have somebody who can format, somebody who's intelligent, who can debatable. somebody who's intelligent who can formulate a decent program for a base level of fitness. Are you going to become a competitor? No. Is it specific to weight loss needs or anything like that? No. Is it specific to targeting certain body parts? Do you have a coach available? You might. She might be available to you remotely or Instagram or anything like that. But you don't have those things. But you do have a base level of like a fitness program that's probably at least as good as what you'd get. At least, like bare minimum, like at least, and this is not even a stretch for me to say, I'd say it's at least as good as what you'd get from one of your better personal trainers at a, like a chain gym.
And what you're saying is because of the increase in general knowledge, like people could take a program like that and handle it.
Yeah.
Whereas 5-10 years ago, they couldn't because they had no idea what these types of movements even look like.
Exactly. And the thing is, what people will start to do is they'll start to do those things on the side, and I think those will be good programs for people, especially for the CrossFitter, to use as maybe supplemental programming, right, to their normal CrossFit gym. It'll be good for people just to be able to do if they're traveling, you know. But I think with functional movement, one thing that people understand is if you do them wrong and you do it wrong enough, it's going to create actually the same imbalances that your own training when you're doing isolation movements is going to do, right? So if you're doing a push jerk and you're constantly catching that bar 3 or 4 inches out front and you start to develop a more prominent anterior deltoid, right? That's not going to be something that we want to do, right? It's not going to be if we're deadlifting wrong and our hips are down and our chest is up versus our, you know, our knees being vertical, you know, whatever. Like if anything like that's happening, it's going to start to create imbalances that aren't necessarily things that we want to do. So like I said, these are going to be great supplemental programs. And I think that they, for some people, might even fit as their entire program if they have like a really high knowledge and they're willing to stay in communication with people, you know. And street parking is not the only one. Imam of the day, right? Jason's got one going on right now. And, you know, Jason obviously is not, you know, thinking that this is a standalone fitness program. Because he still has NorCal or NC Fit.
He doesn't charge people for Imam of the Day, right?
Imam of the Day, there is now a Beyond the Whiteboard program, like subscription fee.
Yeah. Okay.
So for people. So there's all these different things coming up. And I think that those trends, seeing those from some of these top athletes and personalities, you know, you might see those things have a little bit more success, gain a little bit more traction, you know, and I think they're good for the community.
Yeah, that's a good point on the trending. of these types of kind of remote programs. But what I see when I look at those is I see the, you know, the Nordic Track 5000.
Right.
Or I see the, you know, the perfect push-up. It's a
30 calories on the Nordic Track and 30 perfect push-ups, AMRAP for 30 minutes.
No, what I mean...
I know what you're saying.
I mean is it's a product. It's an infomercial, right? Sure. And none of it is false advertising. It's true, because if somebody has like that internal drive to get up every day on their Nordic Track, they're going to be hella fit and they're going to lose a bunch of weight and it's going to look just like it does on TV.
Right.
But the reality is, the percentage of people that do that is so small, man.
Right.
They buy it, sure, and it just sits and collects dust, right?
Yeah.
And that's where I feel like the CrossFit movement has been so successful, because of the community, because people keep showing up. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why CrossFit works. It's not because the movements that we do are so amazing. It's because people keep showing up.
Right.
Like, it just breeds consistency because they want to be there with their friends.
Well, it's right? Execution at this point, right?
Yeah.
Like, people just won't execute if they, like the Nord Track.
Yeah, like the Nord Track. So, okay, we got street parking, which is, you know, it's, you said it's cheap, right? It's $30 a month or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a nominal fee, which is great. And the program is going to be totally legit, like you said. Mm-hmm. And if the person has the, you know, the motivation.
The gumption,
like the internal drive to do it on their own, it's going to totally work. History has just borne out that there's just not that many people like that.
Right.
So, I mean, that's not to say it can't be a great business venture for some of these top athletes, because, mm-hmm, I mean, if it's just a supplemental thing, how many members do you really need, right, in order to make it work? But I don't think we're going to see it replacing the actual brick and mortar gym.
No, because people want exactly what you talked about. They want community, right? They want accountability. And community is like a really, like, we throw that word around a lot, but we just want to see people, right? We want to have interaction, meaningful human interaction where we can see their face,
right?
Right? Where we can smell their nasty breath, right? Like, where we can shake their sweaty hand. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's just like,
yeah, it's real.
It's real, you know, and there's something, some authenticity to that. And these programs, they don't offer that level of connection, and that's okay. I think that they will be viable options for people, like I said, to get one, right? I mean, like, it's not that hard to spend $20-$30 a month on one of these programs, and then you have this extra work that you could do on the side with your, you know, your coworker or your family member or your friend, you know what I mean? And I think it's really, really cool to be able to do that within the confines of a CrossFit gym. I think it now is like, it's like, I don't know, cooking with gas. You know what I mean? Like, that's a really, really good thing to have. So you got a coach for your standard workout. You have a remote coach for any additional work you want to do. And you still have community, and even maybe so in a deeper way than in less of a way.
Right. And one thing that's nice about this compared to like the Nordic Track is it's portable.
Yep.
Right. Like you said, if you're a person that travels a lot and maybe you're not into like dropping into like a box when you're out of town. Some people really like that. Like, hey, sure, I want to go visit this other community and see how they do it. But hey, you don't have time. It's just like boardroom type of trip. You're in one day, out the next, and you need to get a workout in. It's like, okay, I got a portable workout program that I can pull up and take with me. Now, that's not new. That's been going on since way before CrossFit. I mean, there's apps since we've had smartphones, pretty much. Like, there's been, you know, portable programs, and there's a million different ones, but, you know, that's not to say that you can't come up with a new one, right? Yeah. Like, it's always got to reinvent, you know, that type of wheel, so to speak. But, what other kind of trends do you see coming down the pike?
The Nano 7s, right?
That's right.
I don't know what else is coming
down. Are you seeing more Nikes in your gym?
I'm seeing a lot more Nikes in the gym.
I'm seeing a ton of Nikes.
Yeah. And so the funny thing is I can speak to Nike and Reebok. But, I mean, for me, I can speak to that, and I feel I have an opinion on it, right?
Right.
So the show is sponsored by Reebok. And
but we'll try to be objective here.
But we'll try to be objective, right? Like, this doesn't do anybody any favors for us to fake it, right? For us to fake that, you know, that Reebok is far superior to Nike if it's not actually true. I have no issues with admitting that I like Nike's colorways and clothing a lot more. Like, I just feel like they have the lock on the fashion sense, right? Their clothes are more trendy.
Catchier. Everybody likes the way they look. I mean, the swoosh is a sick logo.
Right. And you know what? That's okay. For me, when I'm working out, like since the Nano, the original Nano, or the U-Form, I thought that was the best CrossFit shoe. I liked it a lot, right? I have wide feet. I'm hard on my shoes.
Right.
I lift heavy. Sometimes I have bad technique, so I need a lot of support.
Kind of heavy.
Kind of heavy, right? And then I didn't like the 2. I didn't like the 3. I didn't like the 4. I love the 5. I actually sent an email to the whatever JD's title is.
The Reebok rep?
The Reebok rep. Sure. There you go. And I said, hey, man, before the 5s go away and you're sending 6s to all the athletes, can you send me a pair of 5s? Because I really like them. And I know that a lot of people were like, oh, they're just a little too hard. There's just not much there. I'm like, I don't care. I like them. So send me one of those, please, and I'd really appreciate it. So I got those. And then with it, I also got a pair of 6s. And I think I've worn my 5s like 3 times. So I love the 6, right? Like, I love the 6. And I like the 6 more than my Metcons that I had in between before the show got picked up. The Metcon just didn't last as long as the Nanos do.
Right. I've never worn a pair of Metcons because I've been on the Reebok train since the beginning. But what I observe is that it's just not quite – it's a more stylish shoe.
Way more.
But it's not quite as durable. It just seems like people have to get more pairs, which may be part of the strategy. Like, have them break down a little sooner so people buy another pair. And people are totally fine spending $100 a couple times a year on shoes because it is fashion. You know what I mean?
I feel like if a car can go 60,000 miles on a set of tires, right? Like these shoe companies, they
don't be able to last 6 months.
Yeah, but they purposely don't make them to last that long, right?
Oh, like, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
I mean, a set of tires for my car takes, 50 times more rubber than the shoes, right? And I mean, like, it drives at 100 miles an hour-ish. Maybe not 100 miles an hour. I don't go that fast. But I'm just saying, you know what I mean?
It takes some wear and tear.
It takes some real wear and tear. We go over bumps and glass and nails and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, our shoes, they don't last because they're not meant to last. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, but that being said, the Nano does last longer. The new 6s, especially in the black and gum, which I have, they don't sell it anymore. It was like a limited edition. They're legit. They look good too. And then, but the Nike just looks a little bit better. And so for people out there like who want look, I definitely think the Nike is there, but I think the 6 is really close behind as far as look goes. The 5 wasn't, the 4 wasn't, the 3 wasn't, the 2 wasn't, and the 1 definitely was not the best looking shoe. But the 6 is getting close. But as far as functionalness, especially with a wide foot, I could say the Nano is a better shoe for me. And it's better for rope climbs.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know how we started talking about fashion. This is not a fashion blog kind of show, but...
Just trends, man.
Yeah,
trends.
That's right. Trends.
Trends, yeah. Okay. So will we see more Nikes, even more Nikes by the end of the year, or will Reebok recapture some of that lost market?
I don't know. The reigning champ on the men's side is a Nike athlete.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But 2-time champ Katrin Tanya on the women's side is a Reebok athlete.
Reebok athlete.
So for whatever that's worth, we'll see how much run they get.
Yeah.
You know, in the lead up, I don't know. I mean, that's a trend that I've been kind of waiting to see, you know, more concretely is the real like push and presence in like advertising, the advertising space for CrossFit athletes, so that they really, really become valuable as ambassadors, right?
Well, I think that there's this this real fear, and this is maybe the next topic for conversation. But I think there's a real fear of us making CrossFit only for the elite athlete, right? Like they're in advertising, right? Reebok might be really scared to do that, to push, Katrin to the forefront, even though she's a pretty girl, she's feminine, but she's still not as feminine as what maybe most women want to be. And so they're maybe fearful that will push away or drive sales in the wrong direction. Right. And then just like us as maybe CrossFit gym owners, we're kind of fearful that people will look at you or I and go like, oh, well, yeah, Ben's been in regionals five times in a row, whatever the heck that means. And Blair was the fifth fittest dude in 2000 and whatever, you know, like I, you know, I don't want to go to that gym, you know, it's just, it's too fit for me. Right. And so maybe there's a fear in that by pushing the champs to the front in advertising that maybe you get that, like, oh, Matt Frazier, I'm gonna look him up. What kind of shoes? Oh, look at him. Look what he does.
I could see that, man. I could see that from the corporate sponsor side of things. Someone like Reebok or Nike or any of these companies that are trying to sell a look, right? Which is kind of what clothing is, right? It's a way people want to look good in their clothes. So they want to have spokespersons or spokespeople that are, you know, looking good in their clothes, looking the way people want to look. I mean, at the end of the day, right? Fitness for most people is about aesthetics and right. how they're going to look and feel. CrossFit kind of bucked that trend a little bit by trying to highlight the performance, mm-hmm. right? Like, not just about how you look, but how you perform. But in reality, that's still a huge part of what sells clothing and sells shoes,
right?
Is the way people look. So I can see that where they're maybe a little sensitive to push the most elite muscular women out to the front,
right.
Or guys for that matter. But at the same time, you know, Nike and Reebok and Under Armour sell a ton of football, basketball, swimming, golf, you name it, apparel based on the not necessarily the most aesthetically
right.
pleasing.
The marquee names that are exactly. out there on the field or on the court, right?
Right.
And people are like, oh, I'm going to buy Jordan shoe, or I'm going to buy LeBron shoe, or I'm going to buy, you know, whoever's shoe.
Right. And the difference there, I guess, is the sport that they're representing is you're not necessarily trying to look like Jordan, right? But in a fitness program, you automatically think that I'm trying to look like this person. So maybe the trend is that if we can continue to move away from CrossFit being thought of as a way to make you look a certain way, as opposed to a way to make you perform a certain way, then we'll see those elite athletes become more and more present in the marketing department. Because, you know, Michael Jordan sold all those shoes because those guys, those kids want to be like Mike. They want right. to play like Mike. They want to like dunk. They want to shoot, you know, fadeaway
jumpers. Hang
their
tongue out of their mouth like Mike. Everything. Exactly. They want to do everything like Mike.
Right. Right. And maybe that's where we have to look for that trend is, are people starting to want to, or are these companies starting to pitch, be like Katrin, lift like Katrin, you know, like it's not it's look like Katrin, it's perform like her. And you right. get these little girls that want to buy Reebok stuff, you know, because she's their performance idol.
Right. I want to be like Katrin.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. They're just coined that right now.
So good.
She got the same ring as be yep. like Mike.
Yeah. Be like Mike.
But I mean that's not going to happen unless you get wide viewership, right? Where people are just watching these athletes compete and be like, "Damn, I want to do that."
Yeah, I mean, and that's the hard part. And then I think there's like that constant education process that happens on our end, on the maybe the you know the affiliate level, the ground level, you know, the boots on the ground. And it's like the extra effort that Katrin has put in, or that I mean Brooke Enns has to put in, or whatever, right? And people are like, she's just a little bit too muscular for me, right? Like, well, just imagine if you pulled 10% of her muscle mass off. How would she look? Well, she'd probably look great. That's probably the best.
You're ever going to look.
The best you can hope for, right? Like, no matter what you do, right? So you need to get in here, right? Like, you need to get in here. If you're going to train, you know, once a day, 5 days a week, that's 5 hours. I guarantee you that Katrin was in the gym for 5 hours today. You know what I mean? And so that's maybe... That's the problem, right? That's the issue where there's just like that disconnect of what people think they're actually capable of. They're like, oh my gosh, if I do CrossFit, I'm going to look like her. I don't want to look like her. I'm not doing CrossFit, right? And then you're like, okay, well, I hate to tell you that you're wrong, right? And then try to sell you a membership,
right?
Right? Like, no, you're not going to look like her. Yes, you can do good. You should buy this. You know what I mean? Like, it just people are like, I don't know. It's too complicated.
Yeah, and the education process is tough because what you want them to focus on is, okay, you don't want to look like her, but this program isn't going to make you look like her. It's right. It's designed to make you, like, just get a slice of her performance.
Right.
Right? She's able to do anything in the physical universe that she wants to do
right.
because of this type of training.
Right.
Now, you don't want to go to the CrossFit Games, so your training is not going to make you look like her because you're not going to train enough to get there.
Yeah.
But you can train enough to do one of those pull-ups that she's doing 50 of,
right?
Or one of those rope climbs that she's doing 10 of.
Right.
Like, use her as the Michael Jordan equivalent, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're not gonna score 60 points like in an NBA game,
right?
But like, you can work hard on your shot so you can hit a 3-point shot,
yeah.
You know, and like, that's gonna feel good. Like, you're gonna feel really good about that.
Yeah.
And what's nice about CrossFit is you have this, this bonus or this byproduct of like leaning out, getting more flexible, you know, and looking generally better. Like, I don't know anybody, like, honestly, that does CrossFit for 6 months to a year and like really does it, that doesn't look better than they did before.
Right. It doesn't happen.
And if they say that, they're just kidding themselves.
Right.
Like, no, you didn't look that good before.
Right. And like, you were
like, that's the truth.
Yeah. You had a misconception about who you were. You didn't have the same look that you do. Your posture wasn't as good as you think it was.
Right.
You know what I mean? You look better after 6 months of this.
Right. Yeah. Right. The only thing that is true is that people gain weight when they do CrossFit because they were skinny fat when they walked in the door.
Right.
Like, okay, so maybe the number on the scale said 120 pounds, but that was like, there's nothing there you can use.
Right.
You know, that's just like skin, fat. You had no muscle, man. So now this girl weighs 125 pounds and she's upset about it. But I'm like, you look way better.
Yeah.
Like, trust it. And now look what you can do with that.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
So I guarantee you when you're 60, you ain't worried so much about how you're looking. It's what you can do.
Right.
You know, and that carries through.
Well, that's the hard part, right? Because yes, she looks better, and yes, she can do more. But if she's attached to a number from some arbitrary reason, right?
Yeah, that's a trend I would like to see. I would like to see, and I think it's going that way. Like you said, people are more conscious. The everyday person is more conscious of what a functional movement is. They're thinking of that as fitness, mm-hmm. right? As opposed to just bicep curls, which is great. That's a great trend. I mean, still, I don't think 50% of the population that works out thinks that way yet, but we're getting there. It's growing.
Right.
And I think hopefully as that comes, you know, goes further and further and further, people are going to be more conscious of their performance and less conscious of the number on a scale.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, looking at trends, it's going to have, there's a bunch of pendulum swinging right now, right? Like in the fitness fashion space with shoes, with programming, with people's ideas about image and what they can get from a CrossFit program, you know. But I think that the one thing that's important is there are coaches that people are going to seek out coaches, brands, lifestyles that are about things that matter, right? And I think aesthetics is highly subjective, right? It is. Although it is subjective, it's still very important to people, right? And so when you...
Yeah, just because we're trending hopefully away from that doesn't mean it's not important, because it is important the way you feel about the way you look, because it's something you see in the mirror every day.
Right. Yeah, so I think that what's important for people to understand is that if you walk into a CrossFit gym and... Or maybe let's say you don't walk into a CrossFit gym because you're not sure what you're going to get there, or you feel like you won't be able to do it or whatever. When you finish your first CrossFit workout... You're going to feel real good. You're going to feel super accomplished. You're going to feel like, man, I pushed myself really hard. I didn't know I was capable of doing so much. And you might think you went a little too hard, right? But the reality is, at the end of the day, you're going to put that as a feather in your cap that you survived a CrossFit workout. You know what I mean? And I think that that's a really important takeaway for people, especially in a world that's, I don't know, trending more and more to things that are kind of surface level and not challenging.
Or how about just trending towards the physical? Like,
right.
Not physical things.
Yeah.
It's just all on a device.
Right.
Right. I mean, dude, they're broadcasting video game tournaments on ESPN.
Right.
Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen that.
It's like actual prime time, not prime time, but like actual television slots being allotted to video games.
Right.
Which, I mean, it's incredible. Like, I'm not saying it's bad, but it's definitely trending away from physical interaction. It's on the sports, the worldwide leader in sports, right? Mm-hmm. Probably the most physical thing that humans do except for war, right? Sports.
Right. Yeah.
And this station is broadcasting video games. It's crazy.
I have no words. I don't know what to say. I don't know. I guess I would say I'm okay with that, right? I'm okay with a balance of that as long as I can see the balance on the other side, right? Like if we're going to go, hey, there's so much technology available. There's so many things available to, for us to get good at. They're outside of the now physical space. We can use our minds maybe a little bit more and our, I don't know, fine motor skills. But it's like gross motor skills, actual interaction, actually moving around is really important because we live in a physical world.
Absolutely. But we're talking about trends. And that's trending down, like, overall. I mean, Pokemon Go, right?
Right.
That's how people got their most exercise last year was, like, head down their phone, walking around to pick up. I don't know what it is. What is it, like, a coin or something?
I don't know.
They're finding Pokemon, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And people are doing it all the time. Like, parents have to drive their kids to parks, not to, like, go play soccer, but to do Pokemon Go. It's crazy, man.
Yeah, it is. It is crazy. That's a...
It's crazy. So it's cool to see any sort of like positive trend in the physical space, right?
Yeah.
Which obviously I think within the thing is that we're talking about two different things. We talk most of the time within the fitness industry, people that are already working out. That's who we're talking to. Mm-hmm. But there's like a greater population of the world that is not working out at all. And that's the people that we're talking about now. This trending away from physical things affects them. People that are in the gym, whether it's Fitness 19, personal training, CrossFit, country club, whatever. Like they are at least engaging physically by through exercise, and that's like a part of their life. Now we can argue about whether or not it's enough or hard enough or how you can do it better, but at least they're doing it, right?
Sure.
They're doing some sort of exercise. The other chunk of the population that we hardly ever talk to, because they're definitely not listening to this podcast,
right,
is trending away from that.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, computers and technology and, you know, like, dude, think about like dating on apps. Do you know how people date now? Like pick up people at a club. They turn on Tinder in the bar and see who's in the bar and they swipe. And if they both swipe to each other, then they go talk.
There you go.
I heard that like, I don't know, a couple months ago, one of my buddies was doing it. I was like, really? Like that's how that works? It's crazy. Like that's like limiting interaction, right? To the absolute minimum where, okay, I know this person's interested, so now I'm going to have a physical interaction with them.
There's right. Like no risk at all.
No risk.
Right. And that maybe that's what we're going against. Maybe we're now this like super risk averse population, right? Like we're all just running from risk, like running from any kind of like, I'm not doing CrossFit because it's way too risky. Like way too risky? I mean,
right.
I mean... It's really that risky. Like, I mean, what do you mean it's way too risky? Like, there's people just dying everywhere. People's arms are breaking everywhere. You know, like, what does that mean, way too risky? Like, I'm not talking to that girl because it's way too risky. I'd rather just sit on my phone and swipe left, right, or swipe right, or whatever. I saw the Danny Broflex video, so I don't know what that is.
Right.
But
that was a great video.
I got told about it, so I had to go back and watch it. But I like the human belt with Ben Smith. I thought it was a good one. But the... I don't know. Maybe we're just like super risk averse, right? Like in our standard for what's acceptable is so low that anything more seems reckless, right? If you're doing a CrossFit program, then you're kind of being reckless with your health. You know, like I was icing my hamstring, and a lady who I go to here at the gym, she's like, see, that's why I don't, because we have a skin lady, we have a massage lady, we have a hair lady right here at the gym. And she's like, that's why I don't work out. I'm like, because you might have to ice your hamstring.
Like, that's not the worst thing that could
happen.
You're
going to carry around 30 extra pounds of body fat?
Just so you don't have to ice your hamstring.
Just so you don't have to ice your hamstring once every 6 years? Like, okay. I'm reckless, I guess.
Yeah, you're reckless. I think the risk averse comment is spot on, man. I think everybody is definitely scared, right? And so long as it's been, you know, justified by history of injury. So like CrossFit has this reputation for being, you know, damaging, or people have like a history of injury. It's an easy out, right? Right. It's a really easy out because nobody's going to criticize you for wanting to like not hurt yourself.
Right.
So, and there's some people that it's legitimate. Like, okay, man, like I understand. Like that's, you just got off of like a bad motorcycle accident. Like you're not trying to do anything super risky because you don't want to jeopardize the ability to walk. Right.
Right.
Totally legitimate. But that's not the majority of people. The majority of people is like, they're totally healthy. carrying around 30 pounds of extra fat, and they're trying to be risk averse just because they don't want to work hard. Like, that's what it is.
Right. They're lazy, risk averse people.
Right.
Right. And the risk of them engaging a fitness program would mean that they stopped being lazy. That's the risk.
Right. And what's hilarious about it is the real risk is not doing anything and getting heart disease. Right? Yeah. Just totally going to happen.
It's totally going to happen, right? There's, yeah. I don't know, man. So there's a lot of trends, and I think, I mean, now that we talk, it seems like it's just more of the same. You know what I mean?
In, yeah, in a lot when of you ways. Get real, like, you know, broad scope, I mean, it's the same.
Right.
I mean, no, like, our little corner of the world is not going to, like, ripple out too far. Right. You know, into the big river, but
well, 17 million people listening to this show will probably influence.
Is that how many we got? 17 million?
Yeah, 17 million listeners.
That's nice. At last check.
Yeah, exactly. It was the last 17 million.
Well, for those 17 million, let's give them a preview of what's coming in the next couple of weeks. We got some cool stuff.
Yeah, so next couple of weeks, well, we leave. I think we both leave on the 11th, right?
Yeah, headed out to Miami, third year in a row,
yeah. And so I'll be competing on a team, right? You know, so kind of like a super team, combined super team. I'll be with Jason Kalipa and Chris Dettering from NorCal or NC Fit, whatever they're calling themselves right now. And we'll be competing and throwing down in the elite division. And there's actually a couple other Iron Mile teams going in the other division, so which is kind of cool. And then we'll sit down and talk to, I mean, the who's who.
Yeah, we'll have a nice lineup of athletes again, as we did the last couple of years. So we'll have that. And then from there, I'm going straight to the Bahamas for the Reebok Athlete Summit.
Third or fourth year in a row of that?
Fourth year in a row for the Reebok Summit.
Nice.
Third year in the Bahamas, the one was with Miami the first year. And we're hoping to get to sit down with some athletes there as well.
Wow.
On the golf course, where last year Justin Timberlake was spotted.
Really?
Yeah.
JT was there, huh?
JT was there, and Jessica Biel was there. They were there for his birthday.
The more important.
Yeah, we got to hang out.
Yeah, as usual. Usual. So Beyond the Barbell, we'll have Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel on it in a
That's
few
right.
weeks.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned. We'll get that number up to about 70 million.
Right. Well, and Rick Ross was at Wadapalooza 2 years ago, right? So, you know, or was it last year or was that 2 years ago?
That was 2 years ago.
That was 2 years ago. So we'll have Rick Ross on. Yeah. And then The Rock is from Miami, so we'll get The Rock on. If anybody is close to The Rock, we would like to sit down with him and talk with him on the podcast. I think that, you know, getting that guy on here,
he works out hard.
He does work out hard, and I think he's pretty much always unfiltered, but he's got a bunch of short format, you know, outputs.
Right.
Right, and to give him a long format like this podcast.
That would be so cool.
It'd be awesome, so right? Great. Imagine giving The Rock a microphone for 45 minutes and just seeing what he has to say about election, fitness, you know, life, success, poverty, you know, whatever.
It'd be amazing.
It'd be cool, right? It'd be really cool. Tie-dye shirts, you know, like just get his thought on everything, right? Nike or Metcon or Nano? Under Armour.
Yeah. Well, all right, guys, that's what's coming up in the next couple weeks. So stay tuned for that. If you guys haven't already, go subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating. And follow us on Instagram at BTB Podcast. Yeah, it's going to be great. Thanks again to Reebok, the official outfitter of CrossFit and the CrossFit Games, for bringing this episode to you guys. And we will see you again soon.
We are out.